We have in this church so many gifts of God in the form of teachers. We are so blessed. I mean, with awesome, awesome teachers. From the time I came here, I knew it. I sensed it, how God was doing a work 23 years ago. And we have excellent teachers in the church. But LaVon teaches. And God's added in these last years so many great teachers, so many here who are not currently teaching Sunday school classes. Some are working in the Bible Institute. But God has gifted them. They're God's gift. But these are ordinary men. Ordinary women who God saved, and they've given themselves to the Word of God. I do believe there's a calling on teachers. There's a calling on pastors and evangelists and so on. But every word of this Bible is for everyone. Every word of this Bible is for everyone. This is not a concealed book. It is a revealed book. God wants all of you to know the truth of this book. And I want to share with you and introduce to you what I believe to be one of the greatest Bible teachers, along with so many others who are currently teaching, Mitchell and others, that I've ever been around. And I've been to school and two or three different Bible colleges and graduated, and I've taken extension courses, and I've been I couldn't tell you how many conferences of revival. But you're blessed as a church, I'm blessed as a pastor, to have Brother Barry Barber as one of our Bible teachers. He's been teaching the Bible in this church for 57 years. I want you to make Brother Barry Barber welcome. I felt like God wanted him to share this morning from his heart. Amen. Thank the Lord. You think about that, what God's done. Brother Barry's going to come and share. And I told him, I said, Brother Barry, you take all the time. Whatever you want to do, we'll get out of here. Now, we probably will not be 1 o'clock. I know some of you are going to be disappointed because you got used to it the last two Sundays. But, Brother Barry, thank you for doing what God's called you to do. And thank you for being a blessing. And we look forward to hearing what God's got to say. Love you, my buddy. God bless you.
We get geared up. Good morning.
Good morning.
Don't leave. You know, this is certainly not Brother Billy standing before you this morning. But you know, he asked me about teaching. And you know, I'd never really, really thought about it in depth, other than what God does for us and how the Holy Spirit works with us. So this morning, if you'd allow me, I would like to express to you how God laid on my heart to do it. It might not be the way you want to do it. It might not be the way that you do it. But it's the way I do it. And God has blessed it over the years without question. If you allow me to pray for just a moment, and then we'll begin. Lord, we do thank you for your marvelous grace. Lord, we do thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the part that it has and is playing in our lives. The Holy Spirit is the thing that showed me that I was lost on my way to an eternal hell without Christ. The thing that drew me to you. The thing that caused me to beg forgiveness and to receive you as my personal Savior. It is the thing that has walked with me through my spiritual life and up to this time. It's the thing that's been present each time that I've sat down to study your precious word. It's the thing that never leaves us, that never forsakes us. And I thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we know that it must be here this day if there's anything to be said that's going to be to uplift and glorify your name. And we'll ask that your name would be glorified this day. Open our hearts and open our minds to your precious word and help us to understand that we are just human and nothing but you, an almighty God. And with you, nothing is impossible. And that means that you can take a little old country boy and save him and bless him and give him the opportunity to teach a precious word, the most precious book that's ever been written. Bless now as only you can. Submit it all to thee. Humble ourselves before you. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Now, I say to you this morning, the first thing you're going to need when you study is a Bible. You need God's Word. My preference is the Scofield Reference Bible because it has some margins of references in between it. You're going to need a notebook. You definitely need a notebook. I would recommend to you that if you don't have one and you really want to study God's Word, that you get a strong concordance. We in the Sunday school class now are studying the humanity of Christ. Boy, has that been good. And when you look up body in God's Word, you can look in strong concordance. And every verse in God's Word that has body in it, you can find it here. If you look up soul, it's in here. When you look up spirit, it's in here. So it's a good help when you study. But let me read a few verses for you this morning, right to start with, and put everything, if you allow me to put everything in perspective. I would ask you to turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. We'll go to the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. And read with me, if you will, beginning, and we're going to go all up and down this scripture. We're not going to read anything in order, so to speak. But I want you to look at verse number 14, excuse me. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, this morning, if you and I ever know anything about this Bible and God's Word, it's going to be because of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be of my wisdom or your wisdom. Not anything wrong with going to school. Not anything wrong with going to college. But you're looking at a country boy that never went to a day of college in his life, never been to a seminary. But I've had a good dose of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit will lead you through God's Word. Amen. And let you know it and understand it. And if you'll study it, you'll find things in it that you cannot imagine or believe. Now, I said you're going to need a Bible. You sure are. Now, Brother Billy said something last Wednesday night that touched my heart. You might not mark your Bible. I do. I make notes all over it. Ooh, you see? I've got another one at home. And I'm having a hard time picking up that new Bible. You know why? Because this is alive. This has become a part of me. I've sat many hours and studied this Bible, God's Word, and it's embedded in my heart, and I've made notes. I've got notes all over it. So that's the reason you need a Bible. Now, there's not anything wrong with your phone or your tablet or whatever, and you can use those to your advantage somewhat. But there's not anything like this Bible to open it up and make your notes and make your comments in the pages of this book. Brother Billy said that he'd looked at his old Bibles and he see tear stains on some of the pages in those Bibles. You'll not see that on your cell phone. You'll see those things and it'll bring back memories to the times when God blessed you to see that truth in God's Word. I can hold this Bible up and tell you that this is the infallible Word of God. It's truth from verse number one to the last verse in the book of Revelations. If you've got a tablet or a cell phone, can you hold that up and say that's the Word of God? You can't hold that up and say that's the Word of God, brothers and sisters, because it's not, because it's got all that other junk in it. This is the truth from front to cover, the total Word of God. And that's what we need. Coming unglued already. And that's what we need to use when we study. Now, we've just seen that the natural man comprehends not the things of the Word of God. You know what that means? That means that you can't look at me and call me anything special, because I'm absolutely no different than any one of you sitting in this church today or listening over any means you might be listening. God hasn't, He has no respect of person. You know the reason we don't know more about God's Word than we do know? Because we don't study. That's the reason. You study, and if you study, He'll reveal it to you. I guarantee you He'll reveal it to you. And if you've never sit down and studied a long hours on a particular topic, and it just didn't seem to come together real well, and I remember Christmas. And I remember a lounge chair at home that I set a recliner at 2:00 in the morning, and I was sitting back in with all the children going to bed and everything quiet, and it just being the Lord, and I was studying the Christmas story, and I can remember that 2:00 morning is good as it was 5 minutes ago. Because He says you have all the ingredients, all the puzzle is here. Now let's just put it together. And all of a sudden He says, click, 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 click. And boy, I come unglued. Just about. I could hardly wait until Sunday morning at Sunday school time. If you've never experienced that, you ought to get in God's Word and try it one time. I challenge you, just try it one time. And boy, if you ever feel that, it'll be something different. You'll want to get back. You'll be hungry for it. Amen. Hungry for it. But now let's look at something else. We see that natural man, he don't comprehend the Word of God. He can't comprehend the Word of God. It's spiritual discernment. It's Greek to him, so to speak. But now let's look at this. Same 1 Corinthians in verse number 9. Verse number 9 starts with a little word called but. I always tell in the class, I says, when you see that word but, you better pay attention, because he's fixing to but. He's fixing to tell you something. He's fixing to shed some light on that that you've just read. Don't ever take one verse. I can take one verse and prove about anything that I want to in God's Word. But you can't take it in order. If you read those verses prior and those verses after, it'll tell you the subject matter, and it'll keep it all focused and in order. But that's the way it must be done. Here it says, but God hath revealed them to us by His what? Spirit. That's already thrown man out the door, because man is not going to know those things of Christ, yet the Spirit of God teach him. He says, they're taught to us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man? So what's the spirit of man going to teach you? Just the things of a man, just the knowledge of man, just the things of the world. That's all it's going to teach you. But look a little bit farther. It's just going to be for what man knoweth, the things of the spirit of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. That's the way I tell the class to read. Every verse, every word in every verse, they're all important. If they're not important, they're going to put them in His Word. God will not put them here to start with. So read every word. Verse number 13, which things also we speak. And how are we going to speak them? What does that say? Not with the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which what? The Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You learn the Word of God by studying the Word of God, by the presence of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding and directing you to know and understand the Word of God. Then you can teach them and speak them and tell them those things in the Word of God. Let me show you another verse that I think we need to pay a lot of attention to. Over in 2 Timothy, second chapter. We're talking about studying God's Word. In 2 chapter, verse number 15, why are you going to study? What's the use to study? Why do we need to study? Well, God's Word says study to show thyself approved. Now, here's one of those situations that I want you to pay attention to. Yeah, we're human. We have a hard time sometimes with this old natural human man in us. We like to be bragged on. But sometimes too much of that can ruin us as a child of God. Because it's okay to tell Brother Billy, "Brother, I enjoyed that message. That was a great message." But you don't put him up here on a pedestal. If you enjoy a Sunday school class that I've taught, it's not me. What I'm trying to tell you folks is, don't build me up. Yes, that's fine to tell me that. But I'll tell you what. I am what I am by the grace of God. So it's not me, it's Him. Amen. And without Him, I'm absolutely what? Nothing. Have no ability to glorify, to praise, to honor His name, none whatsoever. Now, what does this say? It tells you to study, right? Here's one of those little phrases in the verse we need to pay attention to. He says, study to show thyself approved of your church, of your friends, of your neighbors. Approved of who? Approved of God. Approved of God. Then, here's the problem in this next little phrase. What does that next little phrase say? It's a bad word. What does it say? It says a workman. A workman. God tells us in His precious Word to study. You study and you work at it. It takes effort. You have to work at it. He don't just open the cloud and say, boof, and let you have it. He expects you to love Him enough and appreciate what He's done for you and I on Calvary enough that we will study, that He might open the doors of heaven and bring a blessing on us. I ain't believing it's already 12 o'clock, Brother Ben. I understand what shape you're in now when you get in the pulpit in the morning. You know, you see it a little bit different when you get up here than you do out there. What are you shaking your head for, Brother Tim? You've been there too, haven't you, Brother? But He expects us to study. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Are you ashamed this morning of the Word of God? Some of us act like we are. He says ashamed. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth. Now, I've rummaged this thing around all over the place for the last week, so I got to close somewhere down the line. Why does God love you this morning? Let that sink just a minute now. Why does God love you this morning? And why should he love you this morning? I'll guarantee you one thing. You can put that under the category of mercy and grace, because if it weren't for that, neither one, not a one of us in here would be loved. Because there's not any of us in this human body that are fitting for God's love. And when God looks at you and God looks at me, if he looks at us in saving grace, if you know Christ this morning in saving grace, he looks at you and he looks at me through the blood of Christ. And he don't see what this old man is. And boy, aren't we glad that he don't. Amen, brother, hallelujah. Amen. He don't see me as I are. He sees me through his son. And that makes it where he can love me. This morning, when you leave church, if you wanted a steak, where would you go? Probably go to a steakhouse, wouldn't you? You'd go to a steakhouse and you'd sit down, and there they bring a menu before you. And you pick the steak that you want out of that menu. And if all of us would go together, I'll guarantee you every one of us wanting to order the same steak. It'd be a different steak. When you open God's Word, he's got a message for you. And Brother Ben's message might not be the same but my message is. Brother Rowe, there's a steak there.
Yes, sir.
I'll guarantee you there's a steak there. And if you go to the steakhouse of God's Word, Brother Rue, you can get a good one. That's not good English, but you can get a good one. I'm telling you, you can. You know what happens? You order that steak, and basically what do? You just sit there and wait for a little bit, and all of a sudden, guess what? Here comes a sizzling plate with a steak on it. Now you can sit there and sniff over that thing and look at that thing and stare at that thing all you want to. But if you don't ever pick up that knife and pick up that fork and go to digesting that, you know, cutting that thing up a little bit and go to intaking it, it'll never do you not one bit of good, and you will never get any joy or any pleasure out of it other than the smell of it. And that's what's the battle of the world today. They pick it up, maybe take it to church with them, look at it a little bit, take it home, throw it down somewhere on the table, and forget it. A lot of times until next Sunday. Because they don't come on Wednesday night. I'm not trying to be hard on you. I'm just telling you like it is to me. I love God's Word. And the reason I love God's Word, because he says, I am the what? The Word. In the beginning was the Word. Word was made flesh and dwell among us. I love the Word of God. You know, it's amazing, and I've got to quit. Whew. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let's digest that verse for just a moment. For God so loved the world. That means that he loves every single solitary person that's ever been born or ever will be born on the face of this green earth. Okay? But look at that verse. He so loved the world. That means that God's mercy right now is the only reason that this world's not already fried and everybody in it. See, His mercy is sustaining His judgment for the time being. And in that verse, it says that we all have an opportunity to enjoy His love. And many of us are already enjoying His mercy. People are walking up the road and down the road and riding up and down the road today, don't care one thing about God, don't care one thing about this church, and thank you and I, the craziest people in the world, that we'd waste our time coming in here doing that this morning. He means nothing to them. But guess what? They're breathing His air. Every breath that they breathe is His air. Every heartbeat that heart beats is a heartbeat that He's granted them. But still, they don't need it. Care nothing about Him. See, they're in the first part of that verse. The love's available, but has it been received? Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We believed. Now you see, it comes from availability to an ingested thing. It's within us. It's in our hearts, and it brings eternal life, and it brings peace like we've never known peace. It brings joy like we've never known joy. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. That's the way you walk through death and not be afraid, because He's present. And that's the only way you can walk through it and be not afraid. I tell the class, I'll do this in closing, and I tell the class to watch every single solitary one of those little words in when you read and when you study. Let me show you something for just a moment. And Brother Jeff, believe it or not, you read something this morning, 47th chapter of the book of Psalms, that hit the nail on the head, brother, what I'm talking about. In Hebrews, the second chapter, I was talking to Brother Billy about this the other night, in verse number 14. And this is total off the subject of what we've been talking about. He says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He, and that is Christ, also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that," and tell me the next word. What? Had what? What did He have? He had power. Had what kind of power? Had power of death. Now you tell me what tense that word is. You ever seen that before? It don't say He has power. It said He has power. The Lord done something to His power. Christ did something to His power when He took you in my place on Calvary. All physical death's coming. You know, the second death. He says, if you die once. If you're born once, you do what? You die twice. If you're born twice, you do what? You die once. You must have a spiritual birth. God's Word said there is a second death. And he who hath part in the first resurrection, the second death, hath no power. I don't have to worry about Satan. Oh, I'm going to die physically. Big deal. You know all that physical death is going to do? Transfer me into His presence. And that's all it's going to do. Brother Billy, come on. This is the last verse. Brother Jeff read it this morning, and while I've been looking at this week and thinking about it, I like how it fit when I read this verse this morning. That's country talking. In Psalm chapter number 46, last, in number 10th verse, he says, "Be still and know that I am God." Now watch. I will be exalted among the brethren. I will be exalted in the earth. I will. He's going to be where you like it or I like it or not. He's God.
Yes, sir.
And we better go to bed with a verse on our mind and get up chewing a verse that's on our mind. And that'll strengthen us to get through every day. Brother Billy.
Amen. Amen. You bow your head for just a moment. I know that was a blessing to you. I know you were blessed by Brother Barry this morning. I believe I could have sat there a lot longer than that. And I know he's got a lot more to share with us, and maybe God will have an opportunity. Brother Barry mentioned something at the beginning. He and I were talking about this the other night. God is no respecter of persons. Barry's no different. Brother Barry's no different than any man in this building. God wants to share the Word of God with you. Now the question is, do you want to share time with Him? Study to show thyself approved unto God. Will you give yourself to it? And then he closed with the appeal to those who don't know him. That truth in that Bible is spiritually discerned. You say, "Well, Brother Bill, I can't understand so much of it. It's so many things in it." And, well, if you're not saved, you'll never understand any of it, really. Only when you get saved and the Spirit of God comes inside of you, and then it'll be line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It doesn't come to you all at once. If God had showed Brother Barry Barber 57 years ago, everything he's shown him over these 57 years, he could not have stood it. And God's blessed him day by day. And I'll tell you something about Brother Barry. He studied the Word of God before he taught because it was the Word of God. He studied the Word of God because he loved the Lord and he loved his Bible. And you don't study to teach, you study and God will maybe put you in that position. But everybody needs the Word of God. Oh, you can experience that joy when he shows you a truth in the Bible like Brother Barry was talking about. There's nothing like it since you got saved other than leading somebody else to Christ that'll give you joy when God speaks to you from a verse in this Bible. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, let me ask you a question. Are you in the media audience, in this radio audience, and you've never trusted Christ? You've never been saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, but whoso believeth in him, there's a response that must come for you can be blessed. You must believe on him and accept him. If you believe in your heart, confessing with your mouth, you can be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe it in your heart, you call on him. And if you'll call on right now where you are in the media audience or in this building and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I know Jesus died for my sin. I believe he's alive. Come in my heart and save me right now." I believe God will do that for you. And we'd love to rejoice with you about that. Will you stand with your heads bowed? We're going to sing this is what Brad wants us to sing. We're going to sing it or he'll sing it. But here's what I want us to do. Here's the invitation. If you're not saved, boys and girls, men and women, would you step to the nearest aisle and come and from the Word of God, let somebody show you how to be saved. Or if God spoke to your heart clearly this morning, you know that you're lost, you know he's the Savior, it's a simple step of faith to receive him. But here's the other invitation. I'm going to invite men, women, boys and girls that would like to know the Word of God, to understand that he's no respecter of persons, but the Spirit of God will reveal truth to you because he lives inside of you. that you're going to come and say, Lord, I want to know the Bible. I want you to speak to me. God, I will give myself to study. I will give time to sit before you and listen. I will read. I'll get me a good Bible. I'll get me a good study guide, a good Strong's Concordance. And I'm going to tell you, there's times that I've sat and I've read, and it's good, but I began to run references, and then all of a sudden, boy, it just blossoms and blooms and gets big. If you get impatient, you'll miss it. So just be willing to study, feed on it, and it's going to bring forth fruit. And you'll say this morning, as we've challenged you all this month, Lord, I want to spend more time reading your Bible and studying the Word of God. Help me, Lord, show me a word. Help me to research that word, a truth. Help me research that truth. I want to study. I'll get me a notebook. I'll start writing down what you say to me. God, I want to be obedient to you. I would invite every man, woman, boy, and girl who will do that this morning to come. You don't have to bow, but come and stand around the altar. I'm going to pray right now. And Brother Brad, he's going to sing. Many are coming already, but you come on. Heavenly Father, I pray right now the Holy Ghost of God. God already has awakened in the heart of all true believers a hunger for the Word of God. Father, I pray you would forgive us for our neglecting the Word of God, not reading it, not spending time studying it. And God, I pray you'd create a thirst and a hunger in the heart of men, women, boys, and girls to get in the Bible, study the Word of God. Let it bless them, and then through them bless others. God, we must commit ourselves to that. We have to study. God, in any endeavor of life, on the jobs, there's a training period, a learning period, and it's a daily thing that you must maintain. And God, how can we expect to grow if we do not discipline ourselves to study and to wait before you? God, move in the heart of all your people this morning, and I'll thank you.